right, Elizabeth. Handing over to you, paper 31.
Thank you, Sue. So, this project is still at the research stage, and as we said in the paper, we're going to report the results of our research to you in two parts. So in this paper, what we've reported is what we've heard when we've consulted others. And at a later meeting, hopefully next month, we're going to report the second part of the research, which is whether we think we can utilise the disclosures from this with only minimal tailoring, which is clearly quite important. And as part of that next paper, we hope to actually include some examples as part of that, refer to user needs and how they tie in with disclosures. But that's next month. Back to today's paper. So not all jurisdictions require single entity financial statements, even those that do, some don't permit IFRS standards. So this project is unlikely to benefit them. But I feel that of itself shouldn't stop the project. IAS 27 is on separate financial statements, deals with only individual financial statements. So we've already got a precedent. We've already got a standard that only applies to some jurisdictions. Of the other jurisdictions, the message we heard, the majority were supportive. In terms of companies themselves, even though subsidiaries do have to report on a full IFRS basis in their consolidation pack, we have heard strong support from companies for this project. And so, just to sort of conclude my opening remarks, what I'd say is, I just want to repeat something that the EFRAG members said at the April ASAF meeting. So Europe, just like the rest of the world, not all jurisdictions permit IFRS in the individual financial statements. But what the EFRAG members said was, what they heard was that those that want it really want it. And I guess that's really the message that we've heard. So I'll throw the floor open. Do you have any questions, any comments on this side of the research? The second stage will be next month.
Martin.
I have a question. I don't understand what is the rationale for that, because my understanding is, if you are a subsidiary and have to deliver information for the group consolidated financial accounts, you also have to deliver information based on the disclosure for full IFRS. So my understanding is, okay, so you have all this kind of information. And for me, it would be more work if I then have to look at using full IFRS recognition and measurement stuff, but then think again about different stuff which I have to use for SME disclosure. So I really I'm struggling with this project, because I don't understand why people are so keen about that. Is it because my understanding was people saying it's about cost, but I have not understood it, because my understanding is maybe it could be companies who do the disclosure central by the parent, but I have never seen that, because if you are a subsidiary of a parent, usually you report all the disclosure information into parent, and then it is consolidated, and therefore you have this information. And so I struggle to understand what is the rationale, why people are so keen about that.
Well, I understand what you're saying, but the message we've had from companies is they do want it. So some of the messages we've heard is that when the subsidiaries are reporting on the consolidation pact, they're reporting at group materiality level, and the materiality level for the individual financial statements could be, for some instances, considerably smaller. And so they may not need to give some disclosures in the consolidation pact that they would otherwise have to put in their own financial statements. Another message we've heard is that when they report in the group consolidation pact, they may not need to report intercompany transactions. So if one subsidiary leases a property from another subsidiary, they don't need to put that in the consolidation pact, but in their individual financial statements, they're a lessee, they've got to deal with that. IFRS 2 on share-based payments, certainly one message we heard from one company was that they engage an external consultant to get all the information for the disclosures. And, you know, what they're saying is you only need one executive in a subsidiary that's got share options in the top company, and you're into giving all the IFRS 2 disclosures. And there are still share-based payment disclosures in here, but not as many. And we have heard some other messages, which I currently can't think, I'm sorry.
Francois?
Well, I mean, I've been very much interested by the results of the research. And I think we should have a full analysis of the potential scope of the standard, because I could see a case for, if we do that, that we can open it to all non-publicly accountable entities. We have a definition. We know it works. It's robust enough. And I mean, that really inspired me. I thought of it before, but I think it's been at least reinforced by the research, because, you know, insensitive to reading about those countries that allow IFRS but do not require it. And probably if IFRS were available with reduced disclosures, the spread of accounts in accordance with IFRS would be greater. I can't see also why you would only benefit from that when you are a subsidiary and not when you are a standalone company. Why treat these entities differently? And finally, I think it also could be helpful for the transition to being a listed company when you start with the measurement and recognition, and then you provide the disclosures at a later date. So, I mean, thank you for the research, and I think we should move away from this notion of subsidiary alone and consider all non-publicly accountable entities.
Thank you. First of all, I appreciate the paper and the research. I think there is a lot of detailed information inside. I have two questions. One is that actually, if we look at the full IFRS, disclosure requirement is consistent with recognition and measurement requirement. So that means those disclosure requirements, why we develop those disclosure requirements to help users to understand those assets, liability, equity recognized on the balance sheet and measured maybe as a fair value or historic cost. So one very, very simple example, if on the full IFRS, the subsidiary accounts for intangible assets at revaluation amount, but SMEs have no this kind of requirement. And the disclose, if we're using the disclose, reduce the disclose of IFRS for SMEs, I think it doesn't make any sense, because users need to know how they evaluate those, you know, intangible assets, this kind of information. But this kind of disclosure requirement we cannot find in the SME standards. So I don't. How can we work for simply using the disclose of the SME standards? But So this is the first question. Second, if we move forward this project, I'm not sure that this is the right time, because we are comprehensively reviewed the SME standards. I think one part, maybe we will change some disclosure requirements. So I think whether if we do move this project, maybe we, I'm not sure whether this is the right time, because those disclosure requirements will be revised. Yeah, whether we should wait until those disclosure requirements, you know, revised, complete our comprehensive review, and then look at those disclosure requirements. Yeah.
Elizabeth, do you want to comment quickly on the first question?
If I may, so your the revaluation of intangibles, that's exactly where the proposal is to actually introduce some tailoring. So because that is a measurement difference between full IFRS and the IFRS for SMEs, you're quite right, there are no disclosures in this for an entity that revalues intangibles, but that's one of the examples I'm hoping to actually bring next month. And so at the moment, what I'm proposing is to bring in some of the disclosures from full. So it's not to simply take these with absolutely no tailoring, but to see if we can have minimal tailoring, and that would be exactly an instance.
Gary?
Thank you. Yeah, As you know, Elizabeth, I'm very supportive of this project. Just want to report. Last week, I was in the U.S. I had three outreach meetings of which the subject came up in varying degrees of detail in them all. And consistent with the general preparer input in here, there is significant interest and support, you know, for the direction of this project. In here, eventually, I'll write a trip report and copy you on it. You know, recognizing, especially for wholly owned subsidiaries, I mean, out of the U.S. environment, there's skepticism of what are these statements really do in there when they're wholly owned, but they exist and they're common. And so, again, pretty much across the board support that this should persist. I also think to the extent that companies have a choice, you know, SME standard or SME light, is, you know, or something else, this actually might encourage them to go over the IFRS for SMEs.
Thank you.
I just turned
don't
off.
Touch the buttons, Tadal.
It's on still.
Yeah,
it's on.
They're always on, so you don't have to touch them.
It wasn't. That's the, Brazil, we have two options. Or you apply IFRS, or you apply IFRS for SME, basically. Part aside of some insurance companies and financial institutions, you have just these two options. Many of these companies applying IFRS for SME, they are a subsidiary of parent companies that meets the definition for applying full IFRS in Brazil, or they are a subsidiary of companies that has to apply IFRS full abroad. And then for these companies, it's really a matter of cost. If they are able to have their financial statements prepared, the accounts prepared, consistent with their parent companies, but not having the cost of preparing a full set of financial statements based on full IFRS. I understood the proposal that we would address within IFRS as a separate standard that would deal with the situation where some of the measurement requirements we have in IFRS full that are not in IFRS for SME disclosure would be addressed. That's for considering this, I believe that this is a very welcome project for Brazil at least, and for many other countries that they decide moving towards IFRS for SME.
Okay. Nick?
Thank you for the research. It's left me feeling more enthusiastic for the project than before, and I was already keen. I just to pick up on a few things that have been said already, I mean, I still sense that this is largely for subsidiaries, and that's where I think we should focus. I think there are, in terms of what Jen Chow said, in terms of the issue more broadly rather than the specifics of intangibles, I think it's worth recognising that this is a subset of users compared to those who use full IFRS. It's largely lenders and creditors here. So I think the disclosure requirements can be different. Clearly, we are not seeking to impose this on anyone. This would be an option. Now, what I've heard from UK companies who get the benefit for their UK subsidiaries to use FRS 101, which is a reduced disclosure package provided by the FRC, is that they're very enthusiastic about that. It does save them money. They'd like to be able to use something similar for their overseas subsidiaries. And so they are very keen that we should proceed with this and encourage us to do so.
Thanks. Tom?
I just kind of echoing, I think it makes sense. I just want to make sure, I think Francoise's comment, though, as we go forward, we should think about, because it is a logical stepping stone if you go from IFRS for SMEs to full IFRS. There's a ton of evidence that disclosures are costly and it would make the path easier. So if we could think about what she said as we go ahead, I think that would be a good thing.
Yes, thank you. Just could you, Martin's point, Dana, could you bring us your answers to Martin's question next time, because it would be very, very, very beneficial for us.
Last one.
I mean, I can understand if what a country has a requirement, for example, to produce and for this subsidiary IFRS SME solo accounts. And then if they have to deliver already full IFRS recognition measurement, why they should care about simplification and doing something different for SME. And then I think if we would say require, then if it is required SME stuff, and then they can use full IFRS recognition measurement and some additional disclosure with this one SME. I can understand that. That is cost reduction, but not the other way around. If a company is allowed in a country or is required usually to put full IFRS and he has to deliver all full IFRS to his parent and then say, but I want to have reduced disclosure requirements based on. That was my earlier question. And I kind of sense the other way around if it is regulatory, but maybe you can bring more, is it both sides or is it more that people saying, okay, if I required to publish IFRS SME for my solo accounts and then I have this cost relief, or is it other way around? Or is it both, maybe?
Both, yeah, it's a bit of...
Both.
Yeah, because I think what I heard in my previous life when we developed FRS 101 was that they did their reporting pack, and sometimes that was done at group materiality level. And then they had to do individual financial statements for the subsidiary, and they just wanted to have reduced disclosures in there because then they didn't have to go through and get all of those individual disclosures. There is a bit of a gap between the IFRS for SMEs. Well, at that stage, there was a bit more of a gap between the IFRS for SMEs and IFRS because the recognition and measurement was moved a little bit closer last time. And I think when the UK moved the IFRS for SMEs even closer to full IFRS, there was a question about, did you still need the reduced disclosure framework? But the board put it out, and I understand it's quite popular. I understand it's popular for US subsidiaries, actually. That a lot of very small US subsidiaries will use FRS 101. Okay. Rika?
Yes. I thought that this project is very helpful in practice, especially when in Japan, IFRS for SME is not utilized at this moment, but there is a subsidiary which parent already voluntarily use IFRS. In that case, third vendor would like to have information in accordance with IFRS, in which case we have a very struggle with what type of the audit opinion we can release, because those subsidiaries prepare the financial information in accordance with IFRS, but they had no experience to prepare the full disclosure in accordance with IFRS. They only prepared the package of the information which is requested from the parent company. So they only have a limited knowledge about what type of disclosure they need to prepare. And also those vendors, other third party, didn't need the full information of the IFRS disclosure. So in that case, we cannot say this is in accordance with IFRS. So we listed up which disclosure are not included in this financial statement. So it's a little bit, not really user-friendly if those exceptions are included in the audit opinion, even though measurement and recognition requirements are all in accordance with IFRS. So I thought exploring this project and consider which scope of the entities can use this requirement is worth consideration.
All right.
Yeah, thank you. Rika had just said a lot of what I was going to say, and I think part response to Martin. I think part of the issue is the scaling and materiality. I mean, the group level. I mean, some of the companies I was talking to last week, consolidated materiality is over $1 billion. you might go down to a subsidiary, materially it's $500. But the audit report gives the opinion it complies with local standards, including materiality and the scaling of that subsidiary. So you really would like to avoid all of that in it. You know, the U.S., my former colleagues and stuff, you would, with various sarcastic terms, but like the statutory reporting underworld might be a good way to summarize it. It was just its own life all by itself. But internally, you report to the parent what the parent wants and needs, and you kind of handle the local stuff yourself. And it's the concept of unbooked audit adjustments and line of immateriality, it's a different world out there. So this is a good thing to do. It can't hurt anybody, and it may help quite a few people.
Okay. I've got what you need.
Thank you very much.
Yes. Requests for more?
Yes.
Okay. With that, we'll stop for lunch and reconvene at 12:45.